Welcome to the show.
Do you know what today is?
Of course I do.
It is National Mac and Cheese Day.
It's so cheesy.
I love mac and cheese. Great.
Mac and Cheese Day.
Cheesy.
Love mac and cheese.
National Mac and Cheese Day.
You ready to start?
Say cheese.
Cheese.
Let's start the show.
It's showtime. Hit it.
That's right. Hey, guys, I do want to thank you for joining us for the 9th episode in Season 3 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. We do have special guest, VP and coach at Yoga Works, Maya McGinnis, will be joining us. We'll also get the crack production staff got all back together and have put together a few audio files, and we also have some headline or low light stories from around the world to share as well. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, and share with your friends. Of course, be sure to follow me on all the socials. And if you have a guest idea, just email me at gqwithcam@gmail.com. We'll be back with today's headlines and audio files right after this. We'll take a look at some stories from around the world. Obviously, Amazon Prime Day is over, and well, here's what we bought. A consumer website tracked thousands of Prime Day shoppers to see what people were buying this year, and here are a few quick stats. Number one, the top purchases the last 2 days were Amazon Fire Sticks, Echo Dots, Amazon gift card reloads, Frito-Lay variety pack of chips, and Blink doorbell cameras. Number two, the top five types of products that we bought were household essentials, health and beauty stuff, electronics, clothes, and home and garden products. Number three, people who shopped spent around $130 total per household, and 57% placed more than one order. Number four, the average price per item was $34, and the average price per order was $53, up from $45 last year. More than half of the items that we bought cost less than $20, and around 5% were big ticket items over $100. And number five, finally, if you didn't buy anything, you might still get something. Around 1 in 7 people said that they bought at least one gift. Well, for the second time in less than a week, a U.S. plane had smoke and fire issue. Now, luckily, in both cases, everyone's okay, and well, a little song parody to lighten the mood just a bit.
Gas prices up in the air from inflation and more.
Flight attendant saying remain calm.
Pilot aboard and then smelling the smoke. Maybe I should have just stayed home. Oh, bad old smoke filled liner. Don't go catching fire today.
Not this way.
Oh, bad old smoke-filled liner. Cause I can't afford to drive all the way.
They told us to remain calm, but it's on fire. Like, how you gonna remain calm?
Yeah, and in a world full of lies and exaggerations, it's always refreshing to see a little truth in advertising. Now, an ice cream brand based in Kansas City called Belafonte just issued a recall for a flavor called Chocolate to Die For because it could actually kill people. Now, they got a complaint after someone realized the packaging fails to mention it contains peanuts. Now, for anyone with allergies, it could be deadly, so the FDA posted an alert about it on their website yesterday. Now, all the cartons were sold at stores in Missouri and around Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, the company says that they haven't had any reports of people getting sick or having a reaction, but anyone who bought the ice cream can return it for a full refund. Now, we talked earlier about Prime Day, but on this one, we're going to say forget Prime Day and all the other sales this week, because it's time to remember the real time of buying and giving, which is Christmas. And the Hallmark Channel knows how to celebrate in July. Let's see what's on tap.
Tonight, Hallmark's Christmas in July celebration continues with Christmas with a Gymnast. He's a tilt-a-whirl ride operator with four teeth and a precocious six-year-old son who's doing time in juvie. She's a gorgeous retired gymnast who can't have a child of her own due to a bad dismount at the 2018 Summer Games.
Oh!
Ouch.
Will they meet and find love? Come on, pull your leotard out of your crack. It's Christmas with a gymnast tonight on the Hallmark Channel.
And finally, I guess Harold and Kumar, they were onto something. Now, White Castle might not have the best burgers in the world, but maybe the most craveable. Now, a company that tracks consumer habits went through their stats to find the most craveable fast food burgers. And here are the top 10. Number 1, White Castle burgers. They're steamed, not grilled. Number 2, Crystal. They serve mini burgers too. Most of their stores are in the South. Number 3, Burger King. Believe it or not, McDonald's did not make the top 10. Number 4, Whataburger. Number 5, Smashburger. Number 6, In-N-Out. Number 7, Carl's Jr. Number 8, Red Robin. Number 9, Shake Shack. And number 10, Five Guys. And since that list did not include McDonald's, we've got the top 5 reasons that nobody craves McDonald's hamburgers. And number 1, 50 Shades of Grey shouldn't be used to describe a meat patty. Number 2, those little pieces of onion kind of look like nail trimmings. Number 3, they never look as good as the picture, and, well, the picture looks pretty disgusting, too. Number 4, you know all those viral stories about the McDonald's burger from 1995 not decomposing? Yeah, that's not a good thing. And number 5, just say duh, because the employee who usually serves them has a hot, moist cough and a lip scab as well. Yeah, beautiful ideas for you as well. And let's take a look at our not headline news before we get into our special guest, Maya McGinnis.
This is not headline news. Scorching temperatures all over the country. It's so hot, my Uber driver gave me a choice of 3 different body odors. Pete Davidson says his dream is to be a father. The only thing standing in his way is women not wanting a kid who looks like Pete Davidson. Anthony Weiner's ex-wife, Huma Abedin, is dating Bradley Cooper. Weiner is reportedly so depressed, he's refusing to take pictures of his own namesake. The new emojis coming out this year include maracas, a donkey, and a flute. Finally, I'll be able to finish my text message to the station's receptionist. This is not headline news.
And we'll be back with Maya McGinnis right after this. From the Yoga Works brand, we talked with Jason Peterson before about Yoga Works in very, very slight time-wise, but I have a chance to visit with Maya McGinnis today. And Maya, I appreciate you taking the time and look forward to learning more today.
Absolutely. Such a pleasure to be here.
Now tell us, where did, for you, where did your fascination, your interest in yoga, where did that first start for you?
Well, I was really fortunate to be introduced to yoga at a very young age. My mom was a yoga teacher long before yoga was kind of the thing that it is today. It was much less popular at that time. And I just couldn't stand how weird she was. But the more that I learned about yoga, the more fascinated I became. And then I truly experienced the benefits of yoga when I was in college and experiencing a lot of stress, long hours in the library, all of those things that come with, becoming an adult. And I realized that yoga was something that could provide me with relaxation, a greater sense of mindfulness. It made me feel better in my body after, sitting for hours on end. So ultimately, my passion for yoga developed out of the benefits that I experienced myself from my teens into my early 20s.
You had to give mom props in the end, right?
Of course. Yeah. We laugh about it now.
Now you talked about relaxation. Whenever I think about yoga, it does not feel for me in my body type, it doesn't seem like something that would be relaxing. How does that come about for those that don't know?
Sure. And that's such a great point, because I think it's such a misnomer that you come into a yoga class and everything is, you know, just wonderful and zen. Because the reality is, like, a lot of the physical practice of yoga is unwinding all of the tension that develops in our body so that ultimately we can get to a more restful state. But those things take time and they take practice because, you know, bodies are really intelligent, but they hold on to patterns that we put them into, you know, whether it's the shape of the body or just the activities that we participate in daily. And we get really comfortable holding on to certain tension patterns. And when you show up on your yoga mat, very often those classes ask you to begin to unwind those patterns. Like a great example of that is we spend so much time on technology these days that most of us are kind of slumped forward, our shoulders are sagging forward, our chests are collapsed, but it creates a lot of tightness in the upper middle back and the neck, especially. So when you come to yoga class, we ask your body to move in the opposite direction, and it does a little bit of like a 180 of like, whoa, like I'm not used to that. So it's like, it's a really good thing though. And I think so many of the benefits of yoga can be captured if you're willing to stick with it and be willing to be a little bit uncomfortable. You know, I think for me in my life, I've never really experienced growth without a little bit of discomfort along with it. So I'd say the physical practice is the same thing.
And how long does it take a novice, a beginner, if you will, to get to a comfort level and an understanding of the ideology as well?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think it's different for everybody, obviously dependent on, you know, if you've had some sort of movement practice or like exercise regime in your past. We find that people that have a little bit more body awareness sometimes pick up the poses faster. But in general, like a willingness to show up, you know, once, twice a week for a couple of months would be the ideal starting point. And it doesn't have to be like a 60 or 90 minute class, like just doing 10 or 20 minutes of, you know, certain stretches of targeting those problem areas can be plenty, right? More than enough to start to unwind those tension patterns that we were talking about, so that at least when you show up, it's not like a suffer fest and you can start to relax a little bit and get some of the mindfulness benefits of the practice, because ultimately that's a big part of it too.
Suffer fest. That's never suffer used fest. In a good way. That's never used in a good way.
No.
Now talk about YogaWorks and how you guys have had to adapt, especially I know during COVID folks, you talked about people using their technology, and how have you guys been able to intertwine technology with what you guys have been doing before, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely. So YogaWorks started out as a big brick and mortar studio brand. We had studio locations around the country. We had over 65 of them by the time we went into lockdown. So we were really a primarily physical business before the lockdowns that happened due to COVID. And then during COVID, we pivoted to more online delivery, you know, using technology as the medium, more as a solution to what we thought was going to be a temporary problem. Right. And I think that's most of us, right? Like we thought it was going to be maybe a couple weeks, then a couple months, and then it was like, oh, wow, we're here for the long run. So during that time, we stood up our digital product really as a means to keep people practicing, to keep our teachers working, and to keep the yoga accessible. Because I think especially during a lot of the hardship that came up during COVID, you know, yoga has remained a lifeline for a lot of people. We wanted to be able to still offer it in a really widespread way. And I think the irony of that is now, you know, I think there's a lot of conversation about technology and how that can provide challenges in our lives, even though it makes us more connected. There's a whole host of other things that come with it. But technology has really become the medium with which we deliver the yoga. And I think the beauty of that is our now predominantly online studio gives you access to yoga classes anytime, anywhere. We've got live classes with a ton of really talented teachers. We also have on-demand classes that can be watched anytime of a lot of different lengths. So like 5 minutes to 90 minutes, depending on how much time you have in your day. And for me, YogaWorks has really always been the place to go to get access to a wide variety of types of yoga. And we remain that place today. So we've got really active, more like strengthening based classes. We have more relaxing classes, yoga for sleep. That's a fun one. I think that's gotten more popular these days. Yeah. But really helping people settle into a space where they feel more relaxed, they feel more rested, especially with all the other stuff that's going on in the world. So
How has your mindset toward technology changed over the last couple of years when it was first having to be introduced and to what, how you see it today being able to reach others?
It's a great question. And I think my mindset, and I know a lot of people in the yoga community's mindsets has changed really significantly over this time. The yoga studio used to be a place where you could go and put your phone down and just leave all of the outside distractions aside for, you know, a little bit of time. And now that we're utilizing technology as the delivery mechanism, it's become a much more integral part of the practice. But I think the thing that I really love about it is that it's created a greater level of accessibility to the yoga practice. You know, people who didn't normally have access to a yoga studio or maybe didn't have the time in their day to show up and park and do an hour class and all the stuff that comes with it can now hop online for however much time they have available and still get the benefits of the practice. And then we also have like all these different modalities now too. You know, in addition to yoga, we're offering meditation. We offer the yoga for sleep, which is kind of like guided nap time. And then we also have some more strengthening like HIIT-based classes and things like that as well to give people maximum flexibility. And that's really what it's all about. No pun intended, but it gives people the flexibility to find the yoga that works for them and then make it a consistent habit.
And how much different does a person's yoga routine differ from another?
There can be a lot of variability. And I think this to me is like one of my most favorite things about yoga is that there is generally a style of yoga, a level of yoga that suits everybody. And it's just a matter of finding your way to the right classes and the right teachers that resonate with you. Because for some of us, even just based on life stage, you know, when you're younger, in theory, you have a lot more energy. You've got to like get your yayas out. There's classes for that, right? There are classes where you go in and you work really hard and you sweat a lot. And then there are also classes for those days where you don't have as much energy and you use them more as like cross training for the other things that you're doing. And then you can use them to stretch and do some other more passive forms of movement that really complement the more active stuff. And then, you know, depending on life stuff that comes up, you know, we even have like pre and postnatal options so that moms-to-be and newer moms have options to get back to moving their bodies in ways that are healthy and really safe, just given the other stuff that they have going on in their bodies. So we have a lot of variety in the programming that we offer, and that really suits the needs of a lot of people out there because for everybody, it is a little different.
What is some of the feedback that you've gotten over the last couple of years of people that have been doing the yoga remotely, if you will?
People love it. You know, I was super shocked. I am also a teacher at Yoga Works, so I teach two classes a week on our platform. And initially, many of us who were very used to teaching in studio thought that it was just going to be a temporary thing. You know, people were doing it online because they had to. The minute that studios opened back up again, they would run back into the studios. But students have really responded well to the online classes. It gives them flexibility. You know, even something like if you had to leave a class early, I know some days in the old days, I call it pre-pandemic, you had to get up and disrupt the class. But now you just sign offline, no disruption. You know, if you can only do 30 minutes, that's totally fine. And then it gives people the opportunity to explore and access a ton of different teachers from around the country, even around the world, that people didn't otherwise have access to. So you used to be really limited to what you had in your geography. And now you get access to all these like really experienced, really talented teachers that are literally all over the world.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Now, I know that we talked before we came on about talking about a few exercises. I mean, I'm talking exercises that even I could possibly do. What is a good starting point, if you will?
So just moving your body around is a great starting point. And I think so very often, because of the way that we live our lives, many of us are seated most days every day, or we've got limited variability in the position of our bodies. We forget that just moving around actually helps the body a lot. So it's really simple things. You can stay seated as you do them, but even something like rolling your head around in a circle, like little neck rolls, you know, side to side, one ear to one shoulder, one ear to the other shoulder, things like that can actually help bring a lot of freedom into the soft tissue. Yeah, that's holding up your head, which is obviously very important, but you want to make sure that it's well supported. So it's little things like that. And even, you know, I think one thing that I actually do with my YogaWorks team that supports the business and even Go Digital more broadly, which is, you know, the Jason's company that owns our company, mm-hmm. Is just simple breathing exercises. So very often every day, if you think about it, you may catch yourself holding your breath. And when you hold your breath, you're basically telling your nervous system that something is wrong. So just in keeping your breath smooth and deep, inhale, exhale, remind yourself, it helps a lot. It has a much bigger impact than one would think. So, you know, I have a thing even on my Apple Watch where every hour I have a reminder to stand up. Every hour I have a reminder to take a breath. And if you don't have a device, no big deal. You know, you can just remind yourself when you think about it, stand up, move around a little bit, sit down, take a deep breath. It really helps to just reset your entire system and your entire day.
That's good information. That is good information.
Yeah.
Now, if folks want more information about YogaWorks, see how they can fit it into their own personal lives as well. Where's the best place for folks to get that information?
The best place to find us is online. We're yogaworks.com, one single word. Again, yogaworks.com. And on there, you'll see our live schedule. You can check out our on-demand library. You can check out some of our teacher bios, get to know the talent a little bit better. And then we also have a single studio location in Los Angeles, California. If anybody is interested in visiting us in person, there's more information on the website as well.
Well, that's cool. Well, Maya, it has been great to visit with you today. I feel like I've learned something and even somebody like myself can apply some of the principles.
Absolutely. Such a pleasure to be here.
And Maya, I hope you have a great rest of your week and look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks, Cameron.
I do want to say thanks again for joining us for this 9th episode in season 3 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, a question, maybe anything else you'd like to know, just hit me up on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at GQ with Cam. If you have a special guest idea, email me gqwithcam@gmail.com. Do want to say thanks to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your evening.